two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos, Anton Bettis with you. We'll be taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. I found myself humming along with the music to the open. And I think, Ton, it's because Saturday's my favorite day.
Yeah, it's kind of a break from the rigmarole of just all the doom and gloom of the news,
yeah,
I think.
It's such a break for me, and I just enjoy being here. But yeah, people go, you want to work 6 days a week? I'm like, well, the greenhouse is kind of fun. I don't think of it as work.
No, it's a great way to
De-stress
and indulge in a hobby.
No doubt about it. And this morning, the plant of the week, we want to talk about variegated iris because we were out filming a WaterWise video, a garden video that our listeners are going to see soon, hopefully. But there was this variegated iris, and I thought it was a grass. So it just started us off on this conversation about these variegated leafed irises that just really fit into so beautifully into a water-wise landscape.
They do. And so this particular iris is sometimes referred to as variegated Siberian iris, which is wrong. It's Siberian iris is a completely separate species. So that would be an iris for another time.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, the Latin name is Iris pallida, and it's native to Italy, the Dalmatian mountain area, and it has been used in a lot of different situations. They've used it to develop the bearded iris that you see, but the forms that we're talking about are variegated, and there's a white and green variegated, kind of silvery green, and a yellow and silvery green variegated type. So there's two different types, and the reason I really like these is compared to a lot of iris is they don't spread nearly as rapidly and aggressively as many other iris cultivars or species.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yet they have the same beautiful bloom.
They do. The blooms are purple and almost like a grape purple, and they have a grape scent when you smell them. It almost smells like grape Kool-Aid.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Because they're done blooming for the season.
They are. But when they're done blooming, the advantage to them is they add a really ornamental, you know, decorative, portion of the yard. And so you get not only the flowers, but then I think the biggest bang for your buck is actually the variegated foliage, because you can use it for so many different things.
Right. It adds so much interest to the yard. Now, do these die back at the end of the season?
They can. But it will be late.
Do they
late.
Stay like that in the winter?
If you have a mild winter with snow cover, they can hold that foliage.
Oh.
But they will oftentimes not die back until they've been hit by hard frost in November. So it is okay to let them go, and then it's a little more difficult, but clean them up in the spring and just cut back any foliage that died back over the winter. If they completely die back, it's fine. They'll regenerate new fans from the roots.
I know a lot of people will just cut back the leaves once the bloom is done and then just let them regrow from the new, you know, from new cuttings or new growth,
yes,
whatever.
And you shouldn't cut back the leaves of the, when I say bulbs, I say that really loosely. So botanists and horticulturists, I know that they're not bulbs, but when you cut back the flowering bulbs, they, and it's premature and they're still green, you're hurting next year's flowers. Mm-hmm. And so these, unless you're dividing them, you don't cut back the living foliage. And even then you would just go in and you dig these and you want to get a root section about 6 inches long, at least the width of your thumb, and it should have one fan of leaves. And you cut those leaves back by about a third, and that will reduce the water needs temporarily. And you plant that, and it'll take a year to 2 years to get established, and then you have a new iris.
So it's so interesting. I don't ever cut them back. I mean, I pull out the ones that die,
yes,
and then I just leave
them.
That's
all you really need to do.
Because it's not like they just lay down and look terrible. A lot of the perennials, if you don't cut them back, you end up with like a mat of dead stuff in the spring.
You do,
and I don't like that.
It can be hard to rake off because it gets slimy, but it's still fibrous and it's hard to get.
Right.
I've experienced that, right? Yes.
And most gardeners have. But I do. I love just the fact that we can use so many different varieties of plants just to add visual interest. And I keep saying in my backyard, I don't have enough winter interest. So I have a lot of beautiful blooming things. They bloom all summer long. And then we get to the end of the season and I need to cut those perennials all back. And then it's just bare. And so one of the things I'm working on is adding in extra interest. So when I look out my kitchen window in the middle of winter, it just doesn't look like bare soil.
Yes. And that is so difficult here because we're just far enough north that many evergreen plants that you would want for winter interest are not cold hardy here. Even Moab is warm enough for a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And so if we were 5 to 10 degrees warmer in the winter, it would open up a whole palette of things that we could use for winter interest, but we're not. And so we struggle with that a little bit. And so this is one that at least gets you a little longer. Now, if it gets too cold before snow cover, it will just completely die, mm-hmm, to the ground. When I say die to the ground, it'll go dormant and the leaves will die. It'll come back in the spring, but it will add interest through at least fall. The one we saw where we were filming does not get a lot of water. And so it was looking, not, I won't say ragged, but you could tell that it had been a long summer.
A little bit of stress.
But yeah, with weekly watering, they don't generally look like that. So,
mm-hmm. All right. So what else do I need to know about this iris?
Divide them every 3 to 5 years. You want to divide them at least 6 weeks before your average first frost. And so, you know, mid-August is about the time you do that. The latest you'd want to late August. And then otherwise, wait until next year. And as soon as they're done blooming, you can dig them and divide them. And that's actually the best time because you have the best chance the following year of them producing flowers because they've had almost a calendar year to get established.
All right. And you can check out more. There's an article up on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. We're going to be taking your calls, questions coming up next. Phone lines are open. Number for you to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow the letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you. We're taking your questions at 57500. You can also call us 801-575-8255. A first listener says they have a trumpet vine or trumpet vine suckers coming up all over their yard, and they're wondering if they could spray Roundup on them when it cools down and if it will actually kill the main trumpet vine.
If they are connected to the roots of the trumpet vine, then yes, it will at least damage the main plant. And if they apply enough, it will kill.
Okay. Next listener says, should plugs after aeration be raked up or left on?
Left on. People don't like them because they're unsightly. That looks like dog or cat excrement.
Yep.
But that soil breaks down into the thatch layer and introduces microorganisms that then break down the thatch more quickly, and so they need to be left and watered in. Even if it's a clay, it may take 2 or 3 weeks for them to dissolve, but they will.
Okay. First listener on the phone line this morning is Joseph in Holiday. Good morning, Joseph. What is your question?
Yes, I actually have two questions. One is I have these black rat bugs, the scourge in my yard. What can I do to get rid of them? And my other question is, what's the best time to strip trim a rose bush, and how far back should I trim it?
Well, those bugs are probably box elder bugs. It's getting to be that time of year, and there's really no way to get rid of them because they're so mobile. You can spray them with multiple sprays, from horticultural soap to like a pet garden and livestock to Tempo, and it'll keep them out for a week or so, but they'll eventually come back. And it's just part of living, especially if you live in a rural or some of the bench areas near water. So there's box elder trees and elm trees. So those, there's really not much, unless you were to spray the entire state or at least your entire area, you know, several square miles, there's no way to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was your other question again? Oh, the roses. So how do you trim those? And so anytime that you have flowering roses that are ever blooming, so they bloom through the summer, you trim the dead flower heads off. If it's one of the traditional hybrid tea roses, you go back to the first set of leaves with 5 leaflets. And then the major pruning, though, is mid to late March to when you would cut them back. Three or four main canes.
All right. Sounds good. Okay. Thank you.
All right, Joseph, thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says they need to cook their soil for a year after they take out their raspberry patch. They want to know, do they use a black plastic or a clear plastic, and should they till the soil before they cover it with plastic, or is it better to leave it untilled?
I would probably work in a little bit of organic matter, even grass clippings, just to add something in there for microorganisms to try to keep the soil a little healthy. I know that you're going to cook a lot of those off, but what I would do is use clear plastic because it gets a lot hotter than the black.
Okay. That's our next listener is Todd in Spanish Fork. Good morning, Todd. What is your question?
Good morning. Hey, hi, Tom. 5 years ago, I planted a mossy cup or a bur oak from an acorn, and it doubled in height this year. It's now about 8 feet tall. And I'm trying to figure out that happy medium where I start pruning off the lower branches to get it to how I want it to, but I don't want to take away from, you know, feeding the roots too soon.
As long as you don't cut more than 20% of the canopy out, you're totally fine. So you can cut up to about 20% per year until you get it to the height you need.
Okay. So at this point, okay. Okay, that makes sense. All right, thanks much.
Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener wants to know, is it time to divide perennials?
No, it's probably not the best time. It isn't the best time to do it. If you're going to be dividing perennials, you want to wait until they've been hit by hard frost so that they're dormant, and then divide them then, or wait for mid-March of next year. You know, for almost everything out there, if you try to divide them while they're actively growing, with like the iris being one of the few exceptions, you'll kill them.
Okay. Next listener would like to know, can they use fresh bat guana in their garden now, or is it too hot?
It's too hot. And
I've never heard that question. I just want you to know.
Bat guano has been used as a source of nitrogen, especially before industrial fertilizers.
Mm-hmm.
There was a thing that the United States claimed a lot of islands in the Pacific that were filled with either bird or bat guano because we were mining that and bringing it back and using it as on our farms and in our gardens to get the nitrogen out of it for our plants. And so it's not so important now, but unless you're commercially buying it, harvesting bat guano from caves is extremely dangerous because of diseases and things that the bats can carry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd be super cautious. And if you're using it and you have a reliable source and you know it's safe, I wouldn't put more than a half an inch to an inch down in the fall and incorporate that in just because it can be hot.
Is it too hot right now to do that?
If they did a really light layer, quarter of an inch of it, and just raked it in, it would be fine, and they did that monthly. But if they did quite a bit of it, they would make the soil too salty.
All right. Next caller is Steve from Levan. Good morning, Steve. What is your question?
I know it's been a tough year for tomatoes all the way around, but tomato end rot, and I added extra calcium two or three times, tried to water less frequently, and still had some trouble with tomato end rot. I wonder if you could give me any other ideas.
Well, adding calcium to the soil actually is not doing you any good because we have plenty of calcium there. It's just hard for the plants to take up if you have temperature fluctuations or irrigation fluctuations. Instead of watering maybe less, you probably want to water two or three days a week so that the soil stays evenly moist, and that will be your best defense. Sheridan Hansen, our horticulturist up in Davis County, has said that at least she feels like the blossom end rot sprays that you can purchase from like IFA or local garden centers, Steve Regan, those sorts of places, will help if you spray the blossoms. But the primary causes are sporadic watering, where they go from extremely dry to extremely wet, and temperature fluctuations to where they go from the 70s to the 90s to the 70s in the spring and early summer. And so if you'll water evenly, the blossom end rot should diminish.
So you say adding the extra calcium is not a good idea?
Nope, it doesn't do a hill of beans a good because our soil is already up to one-third calcium carbonate. And it's just, calcium is just really hard for the plants to get across their root barrier. And it's made harder when you have temperature fluctuations or water fluctuations in the soil.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right,
you're welcome.
Steve. Thanks for your call this morning. And a reminder to our listeners, we did film a video with Sheridan up at the Botanical Gardens, and you can check that out. It's on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. If you don't have Facebook, you can actually check it out on our KSL YouTube channel as well. It's the KSL Greenhouse Show YouTube channel. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. We'll be back with more of your calls at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.